Welcome in, everybody, to a Friday night edition, as always, of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with the Honorable Glenn Martin. I'm trying to think of like a new adjective to say.
Honorable. I'll take it.
Yeah. And of course, DK in the background running the show. We are here on a Friday night getting you guys prepped for the season finale. Glenn, it is here. In the blink of an eye, it is the last week of the NFL season. Holy crap. I can't wait to get into it. Of course, there's not much at stake for the Ravens, but there's still a ton to talk about when it comes to Ravens news, prepping for the playoffs, and all of the Pro Bowl, roster moves. And of course, we're going to give you our thoughts on this upcoming game and what to expect. So all that being said, it's Friday, Glenn. We made another week. How you doing, my man?
Oh, doing well, doing well. It's funny. It's like you said, it's like the season seems like it whips by, but at the same time, I cannot wait for the postseason to begin. It's right on the horizon. This team feels like it's in perfect position to take to bring the championship back to Baltimore, but you still got to do it in the playoffs when it matters most. But Jimbo, before we even got to the playoff game, The Ravens made headline news. We talked about it during our last live when we saw that it was a possibility. Of course, the Jets did end up releasing Dalvin Cook, and we talked about it. And we said, well, not a really big risk of a move and doesn't really hurt them. Just as long as the expectations are correct is what you're getting. This isn't the Dalvin Cook, I don't think, of a couple years ago. But he signs to the practice squad. And if nothing else, Jimbo, you got to – So, look, here's the thing. He averaged 3 yards a carry this year, Jimbo. So, he pretty much got benched, and Breece Hall was getting the vast majority of the carries out of the backfield for the Jets. Now, my question to you, Jimbo, because last year he's still over 4 yards per carry, three down back, guy that can catch the ball, can block out of the backfield. How much does motivation, do you think, go into the performance of a guy at this point in his career, when you consider that Aaron Rodgers was knocked out of the game and knocked out of the season in the first series of Jets football? Like, how much do you think his 3 yards per carry and his lack of production this year is based on a lack of motivation, knowing that his team was going absolutely nowhere after the injury to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it. I also think not only lack of motivation, but I mean, I don't know what Breece Hall's stats were. Obviously, they were better, but he wasn't in a situation like he had been in the past. You know, when he was with the Vikings, had a quarterback that was respectable in a lot of ways. I mean, the Jets had a respectable quarterback under center for all of 4 snaps this season. They haven't had one other guy that they couldn't just dare to throw.
Could have had Joe.
Could have had Joe, and they blew that one. I think that makes a big difference, and certainly is something that will benefit him if he does actually get meaningful playing time, playing with one Lamar Jackson and this passing attack that we have. But I see your point. You know, it's funny, Glenn. I remember thinking, I'm not a big fan of this signing. I'm not super, super excited about it. But if you do look at our rushing attack, I guess I get it, right? Like, Lamar, once again, is leading the team in rushing, which is not what we wanted, right? Not that it's not like he's got 1,200 yards, like 19, but, he's got, 39 more yards than, 59 more yards than Gus Edwards. Check.
Bob Pierney in the chat.
Yeah, I was going to say 59 more yards than Gus Edwards. Gus is only averaging 4.1. Justice is at 4.6, but of course kind of just came on because he got his job taken from, Keaton Mitchell. So I guess I get it. Like, I was really not excited about it because my first thought was, dang, some kid at the end of the roster that's been providing value on special teams is now getting the stanky boot, right? Because one Dalvin Cook is going to mosey on in here, right? And that kind of I'm not a big fan of, but I also understand that we might be a little light in backfield. Well, I have confidence in Justice. I have confidence in Gus, certainly a lot of confidence in Gus, and that he can turn around a big game. There was obviously something that they felt like they were missing, and I can't totally disagree, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, and like Ravens O's Nation says, the Jets have a trash offensive line. And again, motivation plays a huge role. Of course, no player wants to put bad tape. We get that. But you can't tell me if you're playing for something that you're not playing harder than if you're playing for nothing other than your performance. Like it, there has a goal, and you know, for a team goal, I think it certainly matters for your performance. So I think Ravens O's Nation, yeah, their offensive line was their weak point going into the season, and really the only worry heading into the season. Can they keep a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers upright? They couldn't even do it for one series. So, I think you got to take into account a lot of things, including the fact that they don't have a very good offensive line. But Jimbo, as far as your previous comments, maybe this will help kind of alleviate some of your, you know, worries about who might be getting left off the roster because of adding a guy like Dalvin Cook. They did move Darryl Worley to IR. So, you know, when him and Pierce collided, he was folded back on his ankle. Is being classified as a shoulder ankle injury. So his season is over. They signed Jeremiah Moon to the 53 man because he was kind of doing an up and down type thing. Mm-hmm. And then they elevated Ben Mason and Andrew Adams, the safety from the practice squad, to the active roster for tomorrow's game. So it doesn't look like, because of the Worley move, that they had to necessarily make any cuts, because they just simply elevated Jeremiah, which free up a space for Dalvin Cook to slide into the practice squad.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with that. And then also, I guess I should know this, but how soon, I mean, he gets signed to the practice squad, what was that, Tuesday? No.
Yeah.
Was that Tuesday or Wednesday?
It might have been yesterday, yeah.
Oh, it was yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yeah.
And they didn't confirm until today that he was signed to the practice
squad. So, can he even suit up? I guess he can, right? Like, guys have done so.
Well, he's not coming off the streets like Kyle right. Van Noy, at least. He's been in a football program practicing.
Right. You know? Yeah, I guess that's true. It just and guys, of course, have done so in under shorter notice, right? Didn't Dobbs like get off the plane?
3 days. And he's a quarterback.
Taking some snaps. Right. And I'm taking some snaps. So this is the thing I hope. I hope we see him and see a lot of him in this game, because I want to see what he's got. Now, this obviously won't be the same as playing under Lamar Jackson. It'll kind of be in the same situation where he's playing with the backup again. But I don't want to see Gus.
Motivated group of backups, though.
Yeah, and I don't want to see Gus and Justice touch the ball.
So is this a way to make it a Melvin Gordon, Dalvin Cook Saturday?
I hope so. I mean, okay. I can see that.
Okay.
I'd be all right with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't need to see anything from Gus or Justice in this last game, except for the fact that they come out of it healthy. That's all I need to say.
Yeah, because look, let's be honest. It hasn't been Gus's best second half of the season, but we always know what to expect for the most part. Gus is going to average between 4 and 5, get 700 some yards. This year he's got, I think, the most yards he's ever had, or touchdowns he's ever had in a season. He's at 13.
Crazy.
So we kind of know what we're going to get, right? Like, we have confidence in them moving forward, but he could be in referring to Dalvin Cook, could be a bit of a wild card. So let's kick the tires on him and see what it is.
Three down back. He can help you any way you need help in the backfield, at least in theory, with his skill set. So no harm, no foul. Let's bring him in, see what he has. And in fact, Ravens O's Nations goes on to say that he'd like to see him play this weekend as well. So he let's see what he's got. Let's see what motivation does, see if it puts a little pep in his step. And you know, like Bob Pierney said in the chat earlier, you know, he should, in theory, have some pretty fresh legs when you look at the amount of carries he's had in comparison to what he had in years past, where he was a bell cow. So, let's see what he's got. And, what can it hurt? Let's see. Max says, I am not hoping for any specific team to miss or make the playoffs or win/lose on wild card weekend. I was pumped the Titans beat the Pats I was pumped when the Titans beat the Pats in the wild card round. I see what you're saying. So don't root for, you're not rooting for anyone. You'll see whoever comes to the bank, whoever brings himself into the big crab cake, you're ready for them. And it looks like you're going to be confident, Max. And it's hard to disagree.
For sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So Jimbo, so you're okay with Dalvin.
Yeah.
You're not mad about it. Let me mention this to you. The Pro Bowl was announced.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool video. Did you see that?
It was a pretty cool video. I liked I liked seeing the first timers get the news from the crew. I think that was pretty cool. I think that's probably part of the job that they absolutely love. Like, I'm sure there's some parts that they don't like, but Eric DaCosta getting it to tell those guys that they got the first time Pro Bowl, it was cool. So your Pro Bowlers are linebacker Patrick Queen, running mate linebacker, Roquan Smith, which, by the way, does that put to rest who the best linebacking duo in football is?
I think it has to.
Like, are we done?
Yeah.
Also, defensive tackle, Justin Medabike, safety, Kyle Hamilton, center, Tyler Linderbaum, and, of course, quarterback, Lamar Jackson. You know, I can't help but notice, Jimbo, and I'm going to give Eric DaCosta some flowers here, that he drafted all four first-time Pro Bowlers on that list, Patrick Queen, Justin Medabike, Kyle Hamilton, Tyler Linderbaum. He traded for Roquan Smith, our other Pro Bowler, and he also signed quarterback Lamar Jackson to a long-term contract extension this offseason. So all those Pro Bowlers, you could say Eric DaCosta is certainly, he's the reason they're here. And so you got to give that guy credit, but also the coaching staff for developing these guys, and the players themselves, of course, deserve the most credit of all.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I mean, you talked about before we were hot mics, like Eric DaCosta certainly has gotten his fair share of criticism. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be turning around, right? I know, look, Pat, I've said it. I apologize, dude. I should have given you a chance, my man. And, shout out to you and all the work. Obviously, the video, you could see that it really meant something to him. But not only to them and them developing themselves, just like you said, Eric DaCosta having the vision and the foresight to take these guys. When, you know, some people thought Hamilton was a reach. Some people immediately wanted to make Hamilton a bust. Some people were like, well, he's falling for a reason. He might end up being, I don't know who was drafted in front of him, but he might end up being the best player to come out of that class. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it, you know, I don't know when all pros are announced, but I'm sure he's got to be in the conversation, and it's his second year. I mean, We're talking like Derwin James status stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
except he's been healthier,
right? He's been, knock on wood, but yeah, you're absolutely right. So look, I mean, I'm excited about what Eric DaCosta is doing and what he continues to do. I don't think there's very few folks that do it better. So, yeah, man, I'm happy for these guys. Do you have the full list? Oh, you know,
it's all those guys, and then Justin Tucker is the only guy.
Yeah, yeah, Justin list Tucker. And, which actually, it's funny that I was kind of surprised.
In a
not
sense,
crazy.
This is a down year for him. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. It's just kind of a goofy year for him because he's had like three or four blocks this year, and like,
yeah,
you know, a few misses. Just yeah, I don't have any concerns about him, but I was just kind of surprised. But yeah, when you are the GOAT, you get the respect, right?
That's right. That's
like Kobe's like a 20,000 time All-Star or something.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, he's beast mode. Let's see. I can't name a significant draft pick that EDC has missed on yet. Well, yeah, I mean, look, the 19 class, you know, of course, Hollywood in the first round, who's still a good player, so I don't think we count him as a miss. Unfortunate, can't really, it feels even weird saying, but you can't really judge the second round because it was Jalen Ferguson. Of course, he tragically passed away. And the rest of the guys on that list aren't like, you know, they weren't stunners, I would say. And that was his first year, I believe. But in 2020, he got Pat Queen in the first. He got JK in the second. He got Medabike in the third. He got Duvernay in the third. He got Malik Harrison, who's still out here making plays for us, in the third. He got Tyree Phillips. Okay, not so good. Ben Bredesen, not so good. Broderick Washington, Jimmy's favorite player when we drafted him that year, in round five, who got a second contract and is still making plays. And just Geno Stone in the seventh round. That's all. Jesus. That's pretty good class. I mean, holy. And Jimbo, speaking of Geno Stone, let me ask you something here because I'm confused. I'm lost and I need clarification.
Okay.
I'm going to read you two stat lines, okay?
Yeah.
First guy, he's got 64 total tackles. Okay. He's got zero interceptions. He's got three pass deflections. Okay. He's got zero sacks. Zero forced fumbles, 64 tackles. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Then the next guy, 68 total tackles, 9 pass breakups, 3 times the amount, 7 interceptions, second in the league. What if I told you that the first guy made the Pro Bowl and the second guy didn't?
That's really bad. Wait, who is this?
Stinking ass Minka, 64 combined tackles, zero turnovers, zero sacks, Pro Bowler.
That is absolutely insane.
How the hell does that happen? Jimmy, help me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, there's no other. It's the Justin. Well, the thing is, you could say it's the Justin Tucker effect, but Justin Tucker's the GOAT, like undisputed greatest of all time. So, yeah, I mean, that's,
and
just
he still had a, if you look at his numbers against his peers, it's not,
yeah,
zero picks to seven.
Well, it's funny because
tackles, everything less.
We know, it's funny to me because we know based on the MVP race that these guys that are voting put way too much stock in statistics. So now they're getting even lazier and they're going Shannon Sharp status. They're not even watching the game.
And they're not even looking at statistics,
I guess. Yeah, they're not even looking at the stats. They're like throwing a dart. You know, they're throwing a dart at a board in the dark. Like, ha! Minka Fitzpatrick.
He's worse everywhere. Everywhere. He's worse.
That's insane to me. And people can say, turn on the tape. Turn on the tape!
Yeah, and he played less.
Yeah, that's wild. That's absolutely insane. Well, I feel bad for Geno Stone because I'm sure that would have been a nice payday for him.
Dude.
Like, DK says it's the fan vote pushing things.
Yeah, I mean,
there's three areas that they get votes from, right? It's the fans, yeah, it's the media members, and it's internal.
We gotta take the fans out. We gotta take the fans out. I hate to say it. We got to, dude. Like, Lamar was the seventh most voted quarterback. He's not the starter. He's gonna be the MVP. Like, Justin Medibike was like eighth on D tackles.
Wait,
like,
so who's the starting? Who got the most?
Pat Mahomes, of course.
Oh my!
It's just like, can we take the fans out? They don't know what they're talking about, dude.
Seriously, because
it's what it is. Is like the Niners get a ton, of course, because they've been around. They were good in the 80s.
Yeah, they have a huge fan base. The Steelers have a huge fan base. The Cowboys have a huge fan base.
The Ravens don't have the huge national following. They've getting more and more with Lamar, certainly, but.
Yeah,
you know,
and DK said it too. I mean, I think you probably saw this headline as well. I know I did. Josh Allen got snubbed with the second half of the season that he's had. You know, I'm not a Josh Allen guy, but it's undeniable. As much as it's impossible for me to leave him out, as much as I don't like him, right? Same thing with Zeitler. Somebody brought up in the comment and in the comment section, and who was it? I think it was Cole that broke it down in a tweet. It's insane to me that by every possible metric by an offensive lineman, the five best guards in the AFC.
Yeah.
All the metrics that you can measure a guard by, not one of them, you know, surpassed Zeitler. But they're bigger names. They're former all pros. They're higher paid guys. Like, you're talking about the Joe Tooneys. You're talking about the, what's the kid's name? Quentin Nelson. You're talking about these guys that are more, that are household names. It's just, it's just ridiculous. It's just a bummer. Not that the playing in the Pro Bowl games means a whole lot, but I know it gets these guys paid more. I know it means it's validation for them more than anything. So it's a bummer for them.
Yeah, yeah. And look, it's I say the fans need to get out of it. But look, the fans aren't the only ones that will have head-scratching votes.
Yeah.
You know, it
should just be your peers, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Because... Well, actually, I don't even know, because look, I'm going to bring up another one that just blew my mind, and then we'll finally get into this preview here. Don C says Brandon Stevens should have gotten a Pro Bowl invite. He was our best corner and played, I think, every game. Yeah, outside of last game. He may have missed another one, but he played the vast majority. Didn't have a ton of turnovers, had a couple, which you know, certainly was much needed. But I get a corner, it's a little bit more, and there's so many corners. Like, you know, it's just like there's six, eight on every team, and it can be kind of tough, but yeah.
You can see a guy slip into the crack. Not that it's justified, but it's easier to see based on the numbers a guy slipping through the cracks.
Right. Exactly. And then also, quickly, I wanted to mention up the NFLPA did a survey amongst its players asking them to grade and rate the top coordinators, both offense, defense, and special teams coordinators in the league. And I can't believe the results. I can't believe it.
I did see this. Isn't McDonald not in the top, what, 5 or 10?
Well, five, top five? He's definitely not in the top 5. And the defense, look, the defense at least has names. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator from the Lions. Steve Wilks, one of the greats for the Niners. Dan Quinn, of course. I don't even have a problem with the defense. Brian Flores for the Vikings, done a great job. Raheem Morris for the Rams. I have no problem with the defense. I think McDonald should be on there, but I'm actually happy he isn't for head coach hiring purposes. But explain this to me, Jimbo. Top five offensive coordinators. Number one, Frank Smith, Miami Dolphins. Who calls the plays in Miami?
Yeah, not him. We all know it's McDaniel.
Who's all? Yeah, it's McDaniel's offense, right? So crazy, right? Thomas Brown for the Carolina Panthers. Who called the plays before he was fired for the Carolina Panthers? If you do not remember.
Yeah, it was Coach R-E-I-C-H-T.
Yeah.
Right, Coach Reich. Yeah, he was at the Colts and
Yep.
Yeah.
And are the Carolina Panthers good?
No, they're garbage.
Worst team in the league, right? He was number two. Number three, Brian Schottenheimer of the Dallas Cowboys. Who calls the plays for the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, we know the head coach calls the plays. Big boy. I always forget his name, too.
Right.
He just had the hernia surgery or whatever,
big
right?
Big fella. Yeah, McCarthy. Yeah.
McCarthy. There you go, McCarthy.
Schottenheimer's the number three. Number four, Brian Callahan, Cincinnati Bengals. Who's the play caller in Cincinnati?
Yeah, Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor. Yeah. I almost called him Zach Wilson. Yeah.
Number four. And then finally, rounding out the top five, not Todd Monken, who's leading a pretty high-powered offense. No. It's Kellen Moore of the LA Chargers. Who?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Obviously,
Is anyone left in the Chargers organization?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Massive regression for Justin Herbert. But there's your top five. A bunch of guys who don't call plays, and a guy who's fired. And then to just really double down, this coordinator, the special teams. Okay, you can tell me John Fossil of the Cowboys. Second, Chris Tabor, the Carolina Panthers. Worst team in the league has two top coordinators.
How is this possible? Like, I don't.
Voted on according to the NFL Player Association survey. So I don't know what. I don't
to get these guys a job, some kind of, and then there's some kind of, you know, there's some kind of. What did the Ravens do wrong to the NFLPA?
As far as I know, John Harbaugh absolutely nailed his hirings of Mike McDonald and Todd Monken. Like, what are we talking about? What Mike McDonald has done to every good offense this year, I know the players deserve a lot of credit, but how do we not credit what that dude has been doing, dude?
Yeah, it's impossible to do. I mean, look, he's going to be on coach. He's going to be in the head coaching circle, right? Like, he's going to be in the hiring circle, and I hope that he stays for the sake of the Ravens, but also understand. But people know what he's doing. I mean, man, what else can you do other than watch the tape?
I just am shocked that this is a players association survey. Like, that's this isn't insane. That's just insane. Knuckleheads here. Like, what are we talking about? So I had to bring that
really
up
quickly. Somebody said this in the chat, so I want to mention this. I'm not going to pull up the video, but I don't know if you saw Marlon Humphrey said that Kyle Hamilton via trash talk, he dropped this to a player. He said to an ex Raven, he said, quote, "They didn't want you, so they went and drafted me." This is obviously in a game. This is obviously Marquise Brown.
I was going to say, it has to be Hollywood.
Has to be.
Woo!
I mean,
I didn't expect that. Like, you know, he seems like a mild-mannered kind of guy, but I guess on the field, whoo, he's not wrong. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I wouldn't say the Ravens didn't want him. They didn't want him when he requested a trade out of there. I don't know if they wanted to extend him, but I don't think they wanted to move him right then. Yeah, Deshaun Elliott. Channel.
Okay. Deshaun. All right.
Okay. That makes that makes a lot more sense because he did.
Yeah, because then it was a direct one for one replacement.
Wow. I can see that. Now, but see, I like Deshaun now.
I liked him while he was here too.
Yeah.
He played like a Raven.
Yeah, and that makes sense. He just played Miami. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to.
But
Channel
if he was
Dirty.
Talking that talk.
But hey, yeah. I mean, on the field, if somebody says something, I don't care. I'll say anything, bro. I was trying to teach my son how to, how to defend himself, you know, by talking. I just had to remember, he's still 10. You know,
did he go too far already? That's
no, he hasn't. I was trying to prepare him with some my old ammunition, you know, because I had a couple go-tos that were undefeated, never lost. But then I realized, he's 10. I got to chill out, bro, because this, you know, I had some heavy hitter counter punches, bro. They keep him
Camden
off.
Will need no help, Glenn. He'll need off. No help. Zero. But I do have to say, he's got a bit more of a nice streak in him than you. You're a nice guy, but he is like Katie nice.
He's
somewhere in the middle between you two.
Yeah, I was a little brutal picking, I can fry you, you know what I mean? I can come after you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I was slick with the tongue, as they say. Don C says, what do you guys think about the dirty Washington Commanders talk of taking Joe Ortiz and Mike McDonald as a GM head coach combo? Well, I'll be honest, I hadn't heard this, but it would be the single smartest decision that they've made probably in the history of their franchise outside of forcing Snyder out of there. That would be genius. I hope the hell it doesn't happen, because then they would be probably really
I'm okay with Ortiz leaving, because I still feel like we got Eric here.
That's true. That's true.
I know he does a lot, and he like leads the scouting team, whatever. Like, all that's say whatever. But Eric's
young enough. He's going to be here for forever.
Yeah.
But don't take Mike. Look at that list. Go take one of those guys.
Look at all those great
coordinators.
Yeah, go ahead. Look, it's possible. Who knows how much longer John's doing this?
That's true.
I mean, you know, there's a possibility that DaCosta could be like, hey, look, John and I are close. I know he's going for 2-3 more, and then you're right in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Type thing, you know, just like they did with him and Ozzy. Now you have to do the interview process, all those things, but
I think he's younger than me, bro.
Yeah. So he's got time.
But at the same time, do you turn down? I mean, it really depends on what type of contract Steve is willing to pony up, because there isn't a cap on what you pay your coordinator. So if he chooses to pay him the equivalent of a first year head coach, then maybe he will consider staying here. But I could also see Mike McDonald wanting to have his own team. But he's younger than me, I think, dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, Glenn, I want to hear this. Danwald 80 says, give us free trash talk, Glenn.
Oh, dude. Look, I'll be honest with you. A lot of my trash talk, I'll talk about your mother. I'll be honest, dude. I'll talk about your mom, or I'll talk about your girl, okay?
Oh my gosh!
Dude, that was my go-to. Like, if you come at me, like, talk about my clothes or something, I'll be like, this jacket, I think I found this under your mom's bed when I was leaving this morning. I didn't know whose it was, but I put it on. It was cold. Like, I'll just, everything was just to shut them down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a child at the same time. But, dude, you know, it gets rough, dude, on the playground.
Rough.
They are relentless and ruthless. So you gotta, it's like just punching them. It's like punching them, but you punch them with an insult.
Oh, yeah.
To let them know, don't come trashing. Don't come talking to me, because I'm going to be hard on you. You know
Look, Glenn, I get it, dude. I had nothing else but my mouth.
That's right. Well, okay. Okay, Jimbo. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I wasn't even tall and imposing like you. Like, I couldn't even.
That's true.
I'm saying? Like, what else could I do?
You had to be slick. Yep.
Dude, so I get it, man. I get it.
You had to let them know. Yeah.
Had to. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
Hey, it got brutal on the lunch table, let me tell you. But that's how it is. But Max says, I don't think it was Deshaun. Hamilton didn't play in that game. Soldier, that's true. Now I wonder if there could have been some cross side, maybe like he comes over to the side and he says something. It could have been, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it could be a number. I thought could have been Chuck Clark, but then I remember he was injured. He was out the whole game or the whole year, so couldn't have been him. Yeah, I guess we need clarification.
Yeah. But anyway, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys, for taking it that way. Like, really? You guys want some trash talk, too? Come over this way. I'll give you some trash talk.
Adit says, hi.
You can go right to your mama if you want.
Highest paid DC is
my mom watches, so I can, I guess.
That's right.
Dude. I have a lot of them in my pocket right now.
Oh, you're getting in trouble, dude.
Sorry.
So much trouble. Highest paid DC is $4.5 million, I'm assuming. And some head coaches are making $7 million. Ravens can offer Mike $7-8 million a year to be Harb's replacement and still pay him like a head coach. Yeah, I mean, that's an option. I doubt knowing it just doesn't seem like something Steve would want to pony up for, unless he truly believes that guy's an irreplaceable like candidate in waiting. That would be the only way. Yeah. It seems unlikely, but maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, it's really, I think the biggest thing is just comes down to if John's willing to give an indicator. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? If John's just like, I'm going till wheels fall off, then you got to respect that. You know, or I don't really want to talk about because I don't know. You also got to respect that. But if he's willing to say, you know what? I have a number. Me and my family have a plan. I'm out at 62 and I'm done. I'm retired, whatever. Then that's just a different scenario. I think the biggest factor in this is John.
And it could also be Mike. Like, you know, you don't, when you're that desired, you don't have to take the first offer.
Exactly.
You know, because that offer could be a trash organization who's going to run you into the ground and then run you out of town in a couple years. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, with all that being said, Jimbo, I think we should probably get to previewing
this football game. Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Because
I can do it real quick. You ready?
I think you're just going to say Ravens win.
Stay healthy.
Oh, is that, yeah. Well, that's certainly a key. I think that's fair to say. Now, my typical go-to for the combined once again failed me. The combined injury report once again
the Minkster
has let me down. But I will say this, we did already know about the fact that Lamar Jackson was ruled out early in the week, so we know it's going to be a Snoop-led game.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, man, as far as having backups, like when you look around the league at all the backups that have been forced into play because of injury, it made me, while our offense hasn't always performed, you know, up to snuff, I think it made me feel good that at least we have a guy who we're familiar with, a guy who's been around, and I think he's looked good this year in the time we've seen. He had a great preseason. Let's not forget, he was lighting it up in preseason. And then in the brief time, he had a perfect quarterback rating last game, Jimbo. What more can you ask?
Yeah, I mean, look, this game is everything for – you better believe he's going to be come out there and be motivated because he's going to make some money off this game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to be given an opportunity, and all he's got to show most recently is this game. So I'm interested to see what kind of Snoop we see out there.
Yeah, I mean, he could be looking at this as like I want to compete. You know, I don't want to be a career backup.
Right.
And if I can come out and show – I can play good against a very motivated Steelers defense that's nothing to sneeze at, then maybe a team will give me a shot to compete maybe with a vet or a super young guy. But I do have the Raven. Oh, dang. Okay. All right. Stop this. Let me put the brakes.
Kind of a bummer that this list is as long as it is, but also not unexpected, right? Yeah. Like a lot of these guys, I mean, obviously, I just kind of want to get to the names that I consider to be most important. Marlon Humphrey. We want to see come back, but we're also not surprised he didn't practice this week, considering he's going to have basically, you know, another full week out in front of him. Shout out to our Darius Washington, who's back in practice in a limited capacity, but excited to see if he comes back.
What could he bring to the playoffs for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just another body. I think there's an opportunity to play in the slot. He's a good cover guy. We've seen him do well in coverage. Look, Kyle Hamilton is banged up. Now, we're expecting him to play, but he is banged up. So I think that, you know, just having that insurance, while they're vastly different players, they play, you know, in the same defensive backfield. So I think him being there could be helpful. I'm trying to think if there's, you know, yeah. So to me, I don't know if there's any surprises on this list here for me, or, you know, obviously it's nice to see Brandon Stevens, full participant.
Big time.
That's big.
I think our Darius coming back with Worley's injury. Remember how thin we were at corner?
That's true too.
With Marlon going out, we were down to three healthy corners. Then Mollett goes out. We only had two safeties, of course. Yeah. So just to have an extra body who is remember the ball skills we were bragging about with our Darius? Like, even when guys would make the initial catch, his hand was in there to knock it out. Like, I don't think this is an under, like, I'm hype about our Darius coming back. This is a big time get back for us at this time of the season. Whew, I'm hype. Wasn't it a pec? So it's not even like a lower body injury where, you know, he may have lost a step and might need that full off season. I expect him to be hitting the ground running and looking like his old self immediately.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, the only one outside of Marlon, I'm concerned about is Kevin Zeitler still not practicing consistently in a limited basis.
They're getting him healthy for the playoffs,
bro. You know, and that's what I think as well. But I hope that he does get healthy enough to rock and roll. I'm sure he'll play. I have no doubt of that. But I just want to make sure that he is as healthy as possible. So I'll be excited to see him put in a full week's worth of practice if he can. In preparation for the playoffs, but no surprises here on this list. Yeah. I think what we can do is do we have the Steelers health? Now I know they're riding with Rudolph. I know that Kenny Pickett is a healthy enough second option here. DK is going to throw so he's been a full participant all week. He's just gotten beat by Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Let's see here.
There's Minka, the Pro Bowler.
Of course. The
joke.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And he's been limited most of the week. And let's see. TJ Watt never practices, I don't think, very often at this point in the season.
Ogunjobi, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miles Jack, man. They brought that guy back. They were desperate at linebacker, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Desperate. What a bust. What's that kid? Bush?
Yeah, Devin Bush. Kind of a shame, though. The injury kind of really just totally took his career over, man. That was a bummer. But, yeah, it looks like they're relatively coming in healthy.
Yeah, they're coming in healthy, and not a single O-lineman is on that list. That's impressive.
Yeah, they got to be. Well, unless I missed one. The guard.
That's true.
I'm not entirely sure he's a starter for them right now.
Right, but either way, that's a good list.
Yeah, yeah, and it's certainly motivated. Like, they need to win this game to have any chances at playoff hopes, so they're going to come in ready to disappoint some Ravens fans like they did last time. They closed out our season with Big Ben under center. God, every time, dude. I mean, how do we know? How do we know? I'm gonna throw it up just real quick.
Oh,
and he's hitting it too. It's just crazy. Ravens O's Nation, let's win this game anyway. Tired of losing the pit. Yeah, I you know, somebody called me. They said, "What do you think, man? It's four. I think it's 4 or 4.5 points." I said, "Dude, take the Ravens, bro, and do it on BetUS and use promo code 410, of course." But take the Ravens, man. I'm telling you, it's just, this is a football team that they're good top to bottom. I'm telling you, and that offense and Pitt don't scare me at all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, there's a reason why we've been playing well, even with the injuries we've sustained throughout the season, is because we have a deep roster. Mm-hmm. So trust in the depth of the roster and the development, you know, the coaching staff to put them in the right position. And yeah, I agree. Ride with the Ravens. All right, let's get down to these matchups here. We'll talk about their defense versus our offense. We've already named a couple. TJ Watt, you guys know him. These guys are household names, especially if you're a Baltimore Raven fan. Minkah Fitzpatrick, the ever injured, always Pro Bowl Minkah Fitzpatrick. Joey Porter Jr., of course, we know from the last game. Alex Highsmith, the counterpart to the UFC fighter himself, TJ Watt. And we have Cam Hayward on here. now, correct me. I guess he's back. He was out earlier in the season, right, Cam Hayward?
Yeah, I believe he returned from IR. Yep.
Yeah, and so Cam Hayward is back, and I'm sure that's giving him some juice. But, I mean, their defense is going to bring the heat. They know how to blitz off the edge. Cam Hayward I think he's probably a Hall of Famer.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say, like, without argument. And they've got some guys. But how are they looking statistically, Glenn?
Yeah, here, let me see here. All right, so, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt they're good. The one area that jumped out to me, they're second in the league in turnover differential, Ravens, and only one behind. I think we're plus 12, they're plus 11. So they turn the ball over on defense, because you know it's not like their offense never turns it over when you look at the track record of their quarterback. So it tells you how often their defense is turning over opposing offenses. But as far as how they rank, points, they're seventh. They give up 19.6 on average per game. In yards, they're 22nd. They average 349.5 yards surrendered per game. And then third down conversion, they're 22nd in the league. They allow opposing offenses to convert third down at a rate of 39.5%, Jimbo. Now, red zone, they're good. And this is, to me, the new age of a good defense is, what do you do in the red zone, man? And right now, they're fifth in the league. They only allow opponents to score on 47% of their red zone trips. And let's see, against the run, they are 18th. They give up 115.5 yards per game on the ground. And through the air, they're 22nd, giving up 234 through the air on average. So not what we're, you know, typically used to seeing from Pittsburgh, where it's like top five in majority of categories, but still, I mean, top 10 defense overall, and a team that has a bunch of game wreckers on the other side that can certainly change the game by themselves and almost win the game by themselves single-handedly. So it's a good defense, Jimbo.
Yeah. Defense worth respecting, and the Ravens are certainly going to show up and play. But now it's going to be fun talking about the Ravens offense, because we got a whole band of guys that haven't gotten a lot of clock this year, and it's going to be exciting to see what they do. You know, obviously we got Tyler Huntley under center. We're going to get a lot of play from, I think, some wide receivers lower down in the depth chart. Same thing with tight ends, and certainly with the backs. So look, without getting into all the names here, I'm just going to tell you right now, Glenn, Melvin Gordon is rising like a phoenix from the ashes in this game. And I'm taking him as my breakout player of the game. Melvin Gordon's going to get into it, and he's going to give it to this defense. I think he's the type of guy that's Gus-esque, that we've seen have success against this defense, where they're either hitting him in the mouth. I think he continues to run hard, and I want to see what he does. So I think Melvin Gordon gets I'm calling it 80 plus and a tutty for Melvin Gordon. Yeah, 80 plus and a tutty, baby. I think he's getting the ball about 1,000 times. I don't know what his yard per carry is going to be, but I'm calling this one 80 plus and a tutty for one Melvin Gordon. And you know what? I'll add to that. 0 fumbles.
That might be the most key for him sticking around in the league.
And really quick, Glenn, let me give you, Let me give you my key to the game offensively. Dude, let's dip into the well and run some stuff. We've been, I'm not the vault. We're taking the ladle. We're getting into the well.
Okay.
Right. And I want to try some stuff with the bullets are live that we've been doing in practice. I want Monken to run some of this stuff so he can get a feel for it while the bullets are live. I want this game to be all about learning the course, baby. That's what it's all about. In the back of my mind, I don't give a crap if the Steelers win. I could care, like, whatever. It means absolutely zilch to me. Mm-hmm. But I want us to go in the playoffs with a thicker playbook and an opportunity to run some more stuff.
Look, you're not doing that with your backups.
No, I know that it's obviously not going to be a one-for-one simulation, but it's going to be a way for Monken to see it more than just practice.
Like, I hear you, but I don't want to put anything on tape that might use in the playoffs. I want this to be the preseason offense is what I want.
Just straight vanilla.
Vanilla as they come. Okay. I don't want to see them putting diddly squat on tape for any of these playoff teams to get any information on what we might run in the upcoming games. And look, I want them to win the game, but winning the game is not normally, it's always top priority. Win the game. Everything else falls behind that. Not this game. Stay healthy. Number one, of course. That's number one. But also, I think show the playoff potential contenders nothing. Show them nothing. Give them nothing. So to me, offensively, my key, because I still want to make a key to, I think, will help them win the game. I didn't want to just put stay healthy. So to me, it's about don't turn the ball over. This is a team that the defense that is very opportunistic. They will turn the ball over both by, you know, tip passes and catching the ball in the air, but also by knocking it out of your quarterback's hand while he's in the pocket. So my whole thing is just don't turn the ball over. Punting is okay. Make their offense move the ball against our defense. And sure, we're not going to have our starting middle linebackers. We probably won't have our starting safeties out there, but, and I doubt we'll have our all pro corner, but I still think we got some pretty good guys out there and we can't bench everyone. So our front is still going to have to play and perform. And I'm sure there's some incentives out there that'll give some motivation. So don't turn it over, punt the ball, and let's see if that offense in Pittsburgh can move the ball against our defense. So that's my key to the game. And then my breakout player, Jimbo, I think it's the Charlie Kohler show.
Yeah.
We saw his one pass last week from Tyler Huntley, went to Charlie Kohler for a touchdown.
Yep.
And I think he's
got a connection.
That's right. I think he's his favorite target. He's certainly a massive target, a guy over the middle where I think he's comfortable throwing the ball. And my only concern is, Jimbo, we've been rotating our tackles, which I think is big brain type stuff. Mm-hmm. But without rotating, these guys are, I'm assuming it's going to be a Falele McCary show in the ends. Can they hold up? Can they shut down this pass rush group that is absolutely, it's a tall task to deal with Highsmith and TJ Watt. And then you put Hayward in the middle. What's your confidence level going into it, knowing it's not just those two guys? It's also Mustafa.
Yeah.
It's Cleveland. And who's it left? Who's it left?
Osala.
Yeah, like, should we be more concerned than we are going into the group?
Yeah, Tyler's going to be in a lot. Tyler's going to be doing a lot of unscheduled runs. I mean, it's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
So best of luck to him. And don't turn the ball over. Forget about making the big play. Like you said, just don't turn it over, because I think that's job number one if you're looking for a new home next year with a $3 to $5 million per year contract and opportunity to compete. Just don't turn it over, man. Mm-hmm. Don't get your bell rung. Don't turn it over. Stay in the game and manage it. So,
sweet would it be to knock out the Steelers with a bunch of backups?
It'd be awesome. Be so awesome, man. But I'll tell you what, I think that the real opportunity for the Ravens to check out this slick transition. The real opportunity for Ravens to take advantage of this team is our defense against their offense. Even though our defense, a lot of guys are going to be sitting on the bench, I still think, like you said, we got a deep team. We got a lot of dogs out there. And let's remind everyone, they got whatever. I think Mason Rudolph had a relatively good game last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's had a couple.
I have zero concern about Mason Rudolph. Like, they should be able to take advantage of him. My opinion. Just one man's opinion. Now, I'll say this. Their offense, we know the names. I think we're going to get into the names in a second. But their offensive line has been playing well. They've been running the ball well as of late. That's something worth considering. But I think our defense can do a lot to win the turnover battle and help Tyler be put into some favorable positions. Look, if you're talking about their offense against our defense, we all know about George Pickens and the late game catch, and he has incredible potential. Najee Harris, not 4 yards a carry. Najee, Jaylen Warren, of course, who's been playing well and is probably better than Najee Harris. Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth, of course. Don't have him on your fantasy team. He will disappoint you. And Calvin Austin Jr. They got some names over there. They got some guys who don't like to block, and they got Mason under center.
Yeah.
So he's going to be throwing some bricks. You get it?
Mason.
And I'm looking forward to our defense taking advantage of it. So, look, let me just tell you right now, because I feel like I'm on a roll. I gave you a cop out, dude. My key to the game is I don't want to see any defenders that are going to have a chance to impact the playoffs limping off the field. Just stay freaking healthy. That's it. Stay healthy. And my breakout player of the game defensively, Glenn, out of nowhere, out of the shadows, Pepe Williams. He's getting a turnover, dude. He's coming back. He's putting his stamp on this season with this one game, giving himself an opportunity to go into next year with a bit of a fresh start. Pepe Williams is going to get a ton of run in this game. I think he gets his hands on a football.
Man, I like it. I would love to see Pepe make a big play. And then knowing our Darius is right behind him to come back, if not this game, and it's certainly in the playoffs. Man, that's pretty cool. But to your point, the last two games, the Steelers offense has made some strides, right? Like, we can give them a little bit of credit. In Mason Rudolph's, I believe, first start over the Bengals 2 weeks ago, he goes 17 of 27 for 290, two tutties. He was only sacked once, no turnovers. So you got to give him credit. And then the big thing they've done is they've got the ground game going in a big way. In that same game, Najee Harris, 19 carries, 78 yards. Jaylen Warren, 8 carries, 24 yards. But also, they're using that run to set up massive chunk plays down the field. I mean, George Pickens is picking up chunks of yards at a historic rate. In that game, I banged my elbow. In the game, George Pickens, that same game, goes 4 catches, 195 yards with 2 touchdowns, including an 86-yard catch and run. So, chunk plays. And then the next game they played against the Seattle Seahawks. Mason didn't get in the end zone, but 18 of 24 for 274 and was only sacked once, no turnovers. But they really got the ground game going. 27 carries, Jimbo, for Najee Harris. That's like old school running back. 122 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. And then Jaylen Warren added 13 more carries, Jimbo. 40 carries for the running backs. He adds 75 more yards on the ground with a touchdown. And then again, chunk plays to George Pickens, 7 catches, 131 yards. So it's been all about them pounding the rock and then throwing the ball really far or even short to George Pickens and allowing him to take it really far with his legs. But to me, it's all been the run game and George Pickens show. Like it's been absolutely incredible. So I could have picked between both of those as my keys to slow down the run and stop. But I'm going to say just cut out the chunk plays because, if they do beat us by ground and pound, 27 carries for one guy and 15 for the other, okay, because that means they're doing 12 to 15 play drives. And I don't trust that Mason Rudolph can orchestrate consistent 15 play drives without making a boo-boo. I don't believe he can do it. So if they want to beat us up and ground and pound and run the ball, boom, 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 all the way down the field, okay, I'm saying, stop that too. But let's not load the box and give easy opportunities for them to pick on one-on-ones on the outside with that guy, that freak of nature, who, by the way, seems just like the worst of guys. I mean, you know, he, again, he did the whole move where, what do you think about the criticism? And he did the whole, well, they don't know what they're talking about thing because they're just fans. And that just grinds my gears. I can judge effort.
It's easy. Okay? It's very easy.
I can judge effort. I don't need to be an all-pro receiver to judge effort, you goof. So, yeah, I don't particularly like the guy, but he's certainly a talented, talented player.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stop the run and then certainly limit George Pickens in the chunk plays. My breakout player, and I hope he plays a lot. I assume he will because it's just a numbers game. Geno Stone is going to show everybody why he should have been the Pro Bowl over Stinka Fitzpatrick, who had 64 tackles, no turnovers forced, no sacks, 3 pass deflections all season.
Doo-doo.
Garbage that he made the Pro Bowl. And I don't even like the Pro Bowl, but it's BS because Geno would have – I mean, Geno's never been. It would have made so much more to him instead they give to this goofball.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great one. I think this is a great opportunity for him to, like you said, kind of show out and show people why they made a mistake. Guys like for moments like this, to guys like Geno have things like this, like a snub like this, will have a difference on the game for sure. It's not something he just like about. I seriously doubt that. Anyway, so Glenn, this is the only reason I actually wanted to come on the show tonight. No, I'm totally kidding. But I'm really excited about this part of the show, that being our competition, because ladies and gentlemen, it has heated up here internally. Glenn and I are now tied 6-for-6, and in almost every other category, we are tied. I have a slight.
Okay,
slight
do you have
advantage.
That graphic, by the way? Is it readily available?
Yeah, it does. It's a slight advantage here, the slightest of margins, and it's the last week of the season. I cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, I walk down the streets now, dude, and I get people just screaming from across the street. People's champ.
Yeah.
And I just, you got it. I just do one of these. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, people's champ. I just hear it. I'm like, I don't even know who did it. I'm like, who said that? I never even find them sometimes. It's just crazy. I'm in the supermarket, dude. I'm in Home Depot.
Yeah.
I heard this guy. I was in the paint section. I heard this guy yelling from lumber. People's chat.
Glenn will never be found in Home Depot, ladies and gentlemen.
It's pretty clear that, you know, I have the fan base on my side here, Jimbo.
And that's okay with me. That's all right. It's not about the number of people in your circle.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It's just not.
It's not? All right.
No.
I mean, only me, you, and DK are in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're the only ones in there. That's okay. Right. Me, you, I mean, you, me, I mean, you, DK, and the people's champ. That's what I meant to say. Just took me 3
all
tries.
All right, DK, throw it up. Throw it up.
Here we go.
All right, there we go. So I am still in the lead by the slightest of margins.
Really? Because he's got me up top, but okay.
Okay. You hear the music? DK added some music for you, Glenn. There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the one, the only 410 Sports Talk Over Under competition brought to you by BetUS. Make sure you go try BetUS today. Use the promo code 410 or use the link in the description. Get up to 125% match and up to $2,500. Take the Ravens this week. Take the points. I think we all chose over. But go ahead and make yourself some money. Bet responsibly and support the show. All that being said, let's get into them this week, DK. What do we got?
I like how we're bumping in here.
I know.
I swear he was turning it up slowly as you were talking, dude. He was
cranky. I was trying to get my best The Price is Right voice there for a second.
Well, Bob Barker.
Come on down.
There we go. There we go. Right. How do I bet on James on BetUS? I love it, Jax. Hey, you're taking the underdog if you do so, Jax.
Wait, why is that?
Because, dude, I'm the favorite and I'm the people's champ. See, Lisa Ann knows.
Lisa Ann knows.
Jax, your bet. Don't bet on him. I'm telling you. Unless the point spread is crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, let's do this. I appreciate the support, Jax. Over under Ravens tight end receiving yards, and with respect to DK, this is probably the hardest one he's had to do all year as far as creating the over unders because we're not exactly sure who's going to, you know, show up out there. So they are a bit more general. They're not player specific for the most part. But Ravens tight end receiving yards over under 40.5. I go smash the over on this one because Tyler Huntley, when he throws the ball 18 times, 9 of them are going to tight ends. You better believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Pat Ricard might even catch a couple today for sure. I'm going to say over. And, yes, we're counting Pat Ricard, okay? Because Harbaugh called him.
No, DK's saying no.
Dude, Harbaugh included him in the tight end group in the
locker room video. I say you count him, DK. You got to count him.
He said, how about our tight ends? He named them all for catching touchdowns, and he included Pat Ricard in that group. So
DK's going on how he's listed on the roster.
Oh, well, I already know how he's lost. He's listed as a fullback. All right, but look, it doesn't matter. Because Charlie Kohler.
This could matter, though. Is he counted or is he not?
DK is the rule. He makes the rules. So he says no.
But I'm fine with it. I respect DK. He is the law.
Charlie Kohler is my breakout player.
He's going over 40.
By himself.
Yeah.
All right. He's going over 40. So have no fear, Jimbo. Even if Pat Ricard is not included in the group, which we have John Harbaugh. He may disagree with DK, but he is the creator of the over-unders, and we will show him his much deserved respect, Jimbo.
Fair enough.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm not here for any DK slander. Or I will mute your mic, okay? Because I can.
I wasn't muted. I just want a clarification.
I have the power.
No, I don't know.
Actually, I don't have any of that. But I will put you in the waiting room, dude. If you keep talking about.
I don't think you can do that.
All right, damn it.
All right, I think actually
myself in solo view mode. Okay, you'll only be looking at me. You'll be in the background.
I'm just gonna shut down the whole thing on accident, like I did on the plane one time. Remember that?
That's right. Yeah, the whole thing. Shut down the stream. I got over easy. DK says under, and I think that's because he knew he wasn't going to include Pat Ricard. He thought we weren't going to notice beforehand, but we big brained him.
All right. But I think this is for sure over. Yeah.
Yeah. Easy money. All right. Next one is Steelers tackles for loss. He sets it at 4.5.
Now, let me understand this. This is the Steelers tackling the Ravens for losses.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, Glenn, I'm disappointed
homer,
in your answer.
Dude. You're such a homer, bro.
So disappointed in your answer. It's clearly under here because Tyler's either going to – he still has escapability, so I don't know how many sacks you think they're going to get.
It's not Lamar.
No, but Tyler will get out there. This is the thing about Tyler, though. He's not planning on extending the play like Lamar. If it gets dicey back there, he's gone. He's not worried about extending the play, doing anything. He's just going. And he's going to hand it off 9,000 times.
He is, but you
four
don't.
4.5 is a lot.
You don't expect the running backs to possibly get tackled for a loss once or twice,
like once a quarter.
Okay, and then they get to Huntley.
I just don't see. I just think 4.5 is a lot. I'm going under. Okay. Dude. I don't see it.
I hate to say it, but I'm going to say this is an easy over. I mean, look, you're talking about T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward going up against an entire backup group of offensive linemen.
They can get to the line. Just sprint to the line of scrimmage for me, guys. Please. Just get to the line of scrimmage.
Just kill them inch by inch. Right. Just get an inch at a time. I got to say under on this one, but I love the homer inside.
You're saying over.
I mean, over. I love the homer inside of you, James, who says under. Man. I think it's beautiful. Me and DK say over.
That's fine.
This guy. That's going to be his downfall right there.
This is where I win, dude.
And you're putting money on this guy or this guy?
Yes. Smart ones.
Man.
No, I'm not worried about it. That's 4.5.
Hey, Jax, don't say that's a good point, Jax. You put money on this guy.
That's right. Right. 4.5, I just see as a lot.
Okay. All right.
What's next, DK? All right. Over under number 3, Steelers rushing yards, 90.5. They average 115.9, 116, basically, per game on the season. Let me double check. I'm pretty sure I went over on this one. Yeah, I went over on this one because it's not our full fleet of guys out there. It's really that simple for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No other thinking besides that. And like you said, they're going to hand it off a million times to Najee.
Well, when's the last time the Ravens held an opponent under 90 yards? Like, it seems like the last few. I mean, McCaffrey, Achan, even before him. I mean, it's been a while. Like, we've been getting
– even though Najee doesn't belong on the same page as those guys, but I understand your point.
For sure. But he's getting volume. 27 carries last week is something – that's like Derrick Henry.
He's not going to be able to speak a sentence after this season.
Well, let's hope that that's not the case, Jimbo.
Jeez.
Man.
I mean, it's just – anyway, yep.
Yeah.
Ask any University of Utah running back to give you the alphabet backwards by their senior year and forget about it, dude.
Oh, man. They run them right into the 40 dirt.
40 times a game, dude.
That's not very nice by them. I don't like that.
No, I try and tell them to, like, diversify it.
Yeah.
You know, Come on, man. Don't ruin the poor guy before he makes the league.
That's right.
You're going over on this one as well.
Yeah, I got to go. I mean, Kyren Williams also in the Rams game went well over. I can't recall a time where, I don't remember a time where they didn't. By the way, just so you know, for reference, last week we beat the Dolphins 56-19 with all our starters, and they had four tackles for loss against us. Just as a reference.
That's fair. I feel good about it.
Okay. Just trying to make you
a little squirmy. Lamar likes to extend the play.
Now you're blaming Lamar. Okay.
No. That's the thing. That's, you know, I mean, Tyler is going to feel anything and he's just out of there.
Okay. All right. Oh, you're saying he's more decisive. He gets moving north and south, whereas Lamar's more of a horizontal guy.
Lamar has the latitude to take risks. Okay. Tyler has no latitude to take risks. Don't pick on my MVP. Oh my gosh. Look at this guy. Absolutely distorting my words. All right, let's go to the next one.
That's right.
Number four, over under, Steelers receiving long, 34 and a half or a yards. They got 42 last game. I'm going over on this one because Mason Rudolph's going to sling the rock. And not all our guys are going to be back there. Same thing. So I'm going over. Glenn, what are you doing?
Yeah, I agree. Over. They take so many shots ever since Mason's taken over that I got to imagine they're going to hit on one of them. And so, yeah. And like you said, Marlon ain't going to be out there. I don't think Brandon Stevens is going to be out there, judging by his practice
participation. Marcus Williams, Kyle Hamilton. I mean.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, I'll be pulling for guys like Darby and Pepe and all those guys to show out. But,
yeah.
I think he goes over.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's go to the tiebreakers.
Hold on. What did DK first tiebreaker, say on that?
Total score. Wait.
He said under.
Oh, DK said under? All right.
Boy, okay. All right.
So Glenn, you and I only have one difference. It really comes down to the tackles for loss. Tyler, if you fail me, I'm done with you.
Easy money, bro.
Done with you, dude.
Layup.
Right. We'll see. Melvin Gordon, just make it to the line of scrimmage, please. I'm asking for nothing more but a net zero. Total score.
Is this the actual over under, DK?
34. I'm going over on this one. I think this was an easy over. My score is 27-17 Baltimore.
Dude, 34? That's so low, dude. I'm going to say over, but that is hilariously low. And Vegas expects no scoring.
Yeah. You're saying over, Glenn?
Yeah, I got to say over. I mean, sure. I'm going to say 20-17, and that's still over. Like, yeah, it's such a low over. It's crazy. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the defenses outscore the offenses.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. DK says over as well.
Dude, I'm tired of getting absolutely sandwiched by you guys in the yard.
Oh, this was all DK getting his get back. He was the last one to put it in there. This was totally DK, dude. Like, look at him trying to deny it down below. Look at him, dude. Total yards for Ravens closest to the pin. This is DK getting his get back.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so I'm at 320. Glenn, what are you at?
305.
And DK is at 275. DK was the last one, so he had the opportunity to not pin you in. And he decided that he was going to pin you in instead.
I got a very small window of opportunity here to get this correct. So the good news is it's not going to come down to this because I'm going to beat you in the over-unders before we get here. So that is the silver lining. But you guys really tried to get me on this one.
No. DK tried to.
Oh, yeah. DK definitely did. Oh, he definitely did. My answers were in first, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know.
Now, I noticed that more than normal, a lot of people are putting their over-unders in the comment section. Please make sure, or in the chat, please make sure to put those in the comment section of this video or message us in any of these social media handles above Glenn's head, because these submissions that you make right now will not count to your official submission. So please make sure to do that. And
they get erased.
That's right. Yeah, these are temporary, ladies and gentlemen.
But I like that you guys are putting them in there.
Yeah, we like them, but make sure not to forget.
Yeah, know that you got to put them in because I do like that you guys are putting them in there. So for sure.
But I think that's it for us tonight, folks. We'll be back tomorrow night to get you to break down the game, to go over the over-under, see who won, to get you guys prepared for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And because we'll have a clearer picture by then. Well, sort of, not exactly, because it's Saturday. Right. But either way, we'll be back tomorrow night to break down the game, give you the good, the bad, the ugly, and let you know who won the competition. But that's it for us tonight, folks.
That's it. Be here or be square. And that's it for us tonight. See you.